Tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're just going to look at one little verse. It's just hardly one line long. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. I love the Beatitudes. Thank you, Caesar. I love the Beatitudes. We shared about, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that really gripped my heart. But then as I continued to read back through the Beatitudes, my mind was just kind of drawn to that, blessed are the poor in spirit. And I thought, I wonder what that fully means, poor in spirit. I had an idea, but I thought, I'm going to study that some more. And the more I studied it, the more it just stood out to me as being something to share and something that every one of us should strive for, because it's not only attainable, it is, the Lord asks us, promises blessings to us if we meet this qualifications of being poor in spirit. What does that mean? Now, that's a phrase that's rather difficult to understand if you just read it. I read it in the New Living several times as well. As blessed are those who understand their need of Him, or something very much like that. But poor in spirit, I need to know what that means if I can have that quality in my life, and if God can use that quality to bless me, then I want to know more about it. So I'm going to jump right into this outline here, and the first point is what we're defining as our calling to be poor in spirit. You and I are called to be poor in spirit. Blessed, happy, to be envied are those who are poor in spirit. What is Christ calling us to here? What does that mean in our lives? Is that just for people that have known the Lord a long time, or is that for brand new Christians, or everybody in between? Now, we all know what the word poor is, or poor means. We usually think of it in terms of material things. If we say or describe ourselves as poor, it means we have very little money. If we think of poor around the world, we think of slums and substandard housing, living in broken down conditions, unable to meet monthly obligations because we are poor. We don't have material wealth enough to go around. So we often think of being poor in terms of material things rather than in terms of spiritual things. We view poor as something to be avoided if possible. You know, nobody says, oh Lord, I want to be poor. When I grow up, I want to be poor. No, when we grow up, we all want to have money, we all want to have resources and so forth. And it seems like it's an anomaly to think of blessed and tie it in with the word poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because usually we would think of blessed of having an ample supply of anything if we tied them together in that thinking. Poor in spirit, there's a lot of things I'm just going to be sharing tonight. I don't really call this a sermon so much as just a talk. But poor in spirit is when you realize your lack of holiness. When you realize your complete emptiness before God. It's a picture of being humble, submissive, dependent, meek, and lowly. And I suppose there are other virtues you could add into that. To be poor in spirit, as the New Living Testament phrases it in verse 3, is to realize that you have a great need for God. You have a great need of God. Someone asked Billy Graham, I read this the other day, I've been doing some reading on it, of course, to Billy Graham, would you explain what it means to be poor in spirit? And he said, that's not hard at all. Just substitute the word humble for poor, and you will have it. Blessed are the humble in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I put in your notes that poor in spirit means that you recognize that condition of moral and spiritual poverty, or you might even say bankruptcy before God. You and I don't have anything that we can bring to God that is going to be an adequate payment for our salvation, for His grace and His mercy to us. Dory and I were having coffee the other morning in McDonald's, as we do, and in came a man. It was clear that he was a transient. He had on coveralls. He was a great big guy. And he went up to the counter. It was kind of sad. He went up to the counter and he had 70 cents in his hand. And he was looking up there at the menu as to what he could buy with 70 cents in his hand. And then he tried to appeal to one of the ladies that was running the cash register. If it had been two or three of the other morning managers, I know they would have responded differently, but he appealed to a lady who doesn't have the authority to make those kinds of decisions, and he said to her, "Can you give me any food for this?" And the lady looked at him and she said, "No, I can't." So he came, unbeknownst to us, he came over and sat not far from us, and he said, "I can't buy anything. I only have 70 cents, and there's nothing up there that I can get for 70 cents. And my heart went out to him, and so we, of course, assisted him, as did another man that was sitting there not far from us. We both helped that individual out and gave him money and bought him some food and all of that stuff. But what struck me about it was what an illustration that is, in a proper sense, of coming to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I'm bankrupt. There's nothing there on God on the menu of grace and love and goodness and kindness and forgiveness. I don't have enough here to buy any of those qualities." And the Lord says, "I know you don't, but I paid the price. What would you like off of the menu?" That's really what it means, is when we come and understand that we don't have anything that we can give to God except our need. Do you realize? God doesn't need anything, but He's pleased when we come and say, "Lord, this is my need." Poor in spirit is the first mark of a person who genuinely walks with God. Genuinely walks with God. You may be multi-talented, you may be successful, you may be a loving mother, a brilliant musician, a tech guru, a political genius, a fantastic father, but if you have truly met with God and He dwells with you, you will know that before Him you have nothing to offer except yourself, and that's not very much. In Isaiah 57:15, I put that in your notes there. It says, "Thus the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the one who says this, 'I live in that high and holy place.'" Notice that. This is God. "I live in that high and holy place with those who..." Now, who does He live with? "Whose spirits are contrite and humble." That's a great definition for being poor in spirit. Contrite and humble. In the year that King Uzziah died, what gets me about being humble is here is Isaiah's summation. This man was a prophet. He was declaring the word of God all over, and he came to the place of in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, when he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His robe filled the temple." In other words, he had a glimpse of God that evidently he had never had in all of his life, even though he was a fantastic, spirit-anointed man of God. And he says this, notice he goes on, "The seraphim called out, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.'" Don't you wish you could hear the seraphim saying that? Don't you think there would be something about the manner in which they would be reverently repeating that? A host of them, it means the I am, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, means plural, seraphim, cherubim, and all of the things that go with that. But don't you wish you could see them at worship before the throne tonight saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the Bible tells us, it goes on there in those first four verses of Isaiah 6, the foundations shook, the house was filled with smoke. And here now is Isaiah's response to that. I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost." Another translation is, "I am undone." We're talking now about being poor in spirit. If Isaiah, one of the greatest men of his day, God's spokesperson, being used mightily of the Lord to declare, we read Isaiah was prophesying 700 years before the birth of Christ. And here, when he saw the Lord in all of his splendor, when he saw the manifestations of the Lord in his splendor, I should say, the Bible tells us he became humble like he had never experienced humility before, and he said, "Woe is me." I wonder, and I ask you, and I ask myself this evening, have you come close enough to God to see that at your best, at your greatest, at your highest, you may be blessed with gifts and talents and capabilities, but at your best, you and I are bankrupt. We are poverty-stricken before Him. Pride, I put in your notes, can only live in the soul of a person who is far from God. Because the closer you get to God, the more your pride will melt away and be dissipated. The smoke of God's presence is a suffocation to pride. Pride staggers from the habitation of the soul, coughing and sputtering when God draws near. That's what happened to Isaiah. And it marked him for life. He became poor in spirit. Whatever your position or title in this world, you are in an entirely different position before God. God is not impressed with any of our earthly accruements or attainments or accumulations. We are in a different position, and I pray that each of us would say, "Oh God, let that be the lowly position of deep humility before you." Every single one of us are called, we are called to be poor in spirit, and we can choose that and attain that. Now, number two, what are the benefits or the blessing, you might say? What's the blessing? Blessed are the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit is the gateway to blessing that leads to all the other fulfillments in life. There's something very interesting. I read this week and I had never noticed it before. There's something very interesting regarding verse 3 of Matthew chapter 5. Did you notice that Jesus speaks about heaven on earth in the sense in the present tense? He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and then notice now, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We think of heaven as being in the future. We might expect him to say, as he did for the other rest of the Beatitudes, "For theirs will be the kingdom of God." It's all the more striking because most of the other Beatitudes speak about future blessings. Do you see that there? Blessed are those who mourn for what? For they shall be. Blessed are the meek, for they shall be. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be. The pure in heart, for they shall be. The peacemakers, for they shall be. In other words, in all of those, it is the future tense that is used. But here, you notice that? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is. It's the present tense, right here and now. He's talking about a taste of heaven right here and now. Now, life in this world is a long ways from heaven. So in a way, you and I can have a genuine taste of heaven right here. What comes to your mind when you think about heaven? Streets of gold. We don't have that now. Redeemed people made perfect. We don't have that now. The lion lying down with the lamb. We don't have that now. The nations waging war no more. We don't have that now. Every tear wiped from our eyes. We don't have that now. But what taste of heaven do the poor in spirit have? Isaiah 57:15 says, "Oh, he inhabits eternity." We read it earlier. He dwells in the high and holy place, but also, in other words, he's not only there, but he dwells in the heart of the individual who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. Some of the most godly, gracious people I have ever known have thought the least of themselves. Now, I want you to understand this. To be poor in spirit doesn't mean you deprecate yourself. To be poor in spirit doesn't mean you just say, "I'm just a bum. I'm worthless. I'm no good. I can't do anything right." That's not being poor in spirit. That's putting down yourself in a negative attitude that actually, I think, encourages the enemy to attack your soul. So to be poor in spirit is not to think meanly of yourself. It's to think rightly of yourself in the light of the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and I am not. I could just give you so many things more here. God dwells with the person who is poor in spirit. And I read this and included it because I think it's so powerful. Heaven is in the humble before the humble are in heaven. Don't you like that? Heaven is in the humble before the humble are in heaven. Our worship team led us in that beautiful little chorus this morning based on James 4:10. "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Let's go to number three. I've got more there, but I want to touch now on these applications in these final minutes. The applications, what are the, when it says blessed, what are the blessings of being poor in spirit? And this is what I've called the applications. And I think there are four of them. They're not lengthy, but I do believe these are the characteristics of people who are poor in spirit. People who are poor in spirit give up the idea that God owes them. God doesn't owe you or me anything. We are the debtors to him. And yet you will be surprised. I told you last Sunday night, don't ever say God isn't fair. You can be thankful that he isn't. Because if he is, you would be lost and undone if you got what you deserved and I got what I deserved. But those who think that God owes them, as God's creatures, we have a duty to him. We are indebted to him. But it's easy. Oh, my goodness. In this me-ism culture, in this narcissistic nature of the world in which we live today, it is so easy for us, if we're not careful, to write out God's job description for us. We can tell him what to do, and we give him our Ten Commandments of what we want from him. Our attitude is, if we're going to serve him, he's got some conditions to meet. Not just me. If I'm going to serve him, he's got some conditions to meet. He has some performance standards. I expect certain blessings for my family, a level of income, good health that will support my chosen lifestyle, and insulation from the sufferings experienced by others. And woe to God if he doesn't meet my expectations. Do you see how pride lies at the root of that? Pride says, I gave him something. In fact, I've given him a lot over the years. If you stop and think of all the money I've given, you think all the services I've been in this church and in other churches, if you think of all the times that I've done things for God, I don't see how he could not be impressed by that. I tell you, it's amazing. Several years ago, a couple of us pastors, I'm not even sure who else was with me on this. Maybe the persons that are tonight are with us. But we was asked to help someone move out of their home. This individual was not a housekeeper. And they had a bunch of stuff under the sink. Was it you and I, Pastor? I don't even remember who it was, to be honest with you. But when they had a bunch of stuff under the sink that they wanted to go. And when we opened the drawers to that sink underneath the sink up there, when we opened the doors underneath there, that was covered with mold about that thick. And I remember thinking to myself, I said to the individual, are you sure you want to take this with you? This has got mold all over it. A little mold never hurt anybody. Well, I'll tell you, a little pride is like that. How that precious lady, and again, she I want to say this kindly, but she was handicapped in her mind and so forth, and doing the best I think that she could with what she had to work with. But I looked under there, and then when we went into the bedroom, all along the border of the bedroom was more mold where the roof had leaked and had come down there. And she's still living today. She doesn't live here, but she's still, so it didn't kill her. But I kept thinking to myself, this mold is terrible. Friends, if we could have as much revulsion for pride in our life as we have for mold in our home, or in our sink, or in our bathroom, or in our basement, or wherever it shows up, if we had as much revulsion for pride as we do for that. So what does it mean? God doesn't owe us anything. God doesn't owe us anything. People who are poor in spirit are always grateful for what God does and are so thankful for His mercy and His blessings. The person who's poor in spirit says, what do I have that I did not receive? If there's anybody here tonight that has something that you did not receive as a gift from God, as that God hasn't given it to you through you might say, well, I worked for that. But who gave you the strength? Who gave you the vitality? Who gave you the ability? Every one of us, none of us can say, I got this by myself. No, if God was to take our breath away, who was it a while back, the lesson of threes or whatever it was, 3 minutes without oxygen and we're brain damaged. I don't think it would take that long for me anymore in my age. I think 35 seconds would just be a legitimate thing to turn off the plug right there, I'll tell you that. But don't think that God owes you. Don't ever, if you ever get the idea, this isn't fair. I don't know why I do this, and nothing like that happens to them. Nothing like this goes on with that person. I don't know why this happens to me. Rebuke that spirit immediately. Rebuke that spirit and say, oh God, sometimes I don't understand all of your workings, but I yield to the sovereignty of your grace and mercy. Number two, people who are poor in spirit are not afraid to ask. One thing I admired about that guy yesterday, he had the courage to ask. He knew he didn't have enough money. He was hoping for mercy, but the lady at the cashier's counter wasn't authorized to make some of the confessions that maybe a shift manager would have. But he wasn't afraid to ask. And then he wasn't afraid to come over and look me in the face and said, I only got 70 cents and I can't buy anything with it. He knew what a soft heart my wife was. So people who are poor in spirit are not afraid to ask. Thomas Watson said, the poor are always begging. Don't ever be afraid to come to the Lord in a humble attitude of begging. Lord, I just beg for your presence. I beg for your anointing. I beg for your goodness to be seen through me. God is so pleased. He who is poor in spirit will be much in prayer. Keep that in mind. He who is poor in spirit will be much in prayer. People who know of their own need have an active prayer life. Keep that in mind. Think of that scribe and the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18. That proud man. He didn't ask anything. You know why? Because in his mind, he had everything. He didn't need God, and he didn't need anything else. All he was grateful for was that he wasn't like that guy over there in the corner praying like that. If you ever sense the mold of pride in your soul, ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse. Number three, people who are poor in spirit are in a position to receive. People who are poor in spirit are in a position to receive. You know what was neat about that? There was a trucker. The interstate was closed yesterday. And there was a trucker sitting on a stool about 8 or 10 feet from that man. I didn't see him go up and order for that guy, and he didn't see me go up and order for that guy. And pretty soon that guy, he was looking up, and he has a big breakfast in front of him, and he's got a sack full of a bunch of stuff that was ordered for him. And he's looking at that like, my goodness, look what my 75 cents has done. It's multiplied before my eyes. I tell you, friends, he was in a position to receive, and you know what? He was very grateful. He thanked me, and he thanked that other man. And that other driver, that other truck driver, bless his heart, he had witnessed this because he had heard the conversation. But when he got up to leave, he came over and he said, "You are a good man." I thought, well, if that isn't something, I haven't heard that for a long time. No, seriously, he said, "You are a good man." And I said, "Sir, so are you. You're a thoughtful, kind man." So people who are in poor in spirit, that man couldn't possibly buy anything with his 70 cents. But in humility, he asked, and that request was answered, not by the lady behind the counter who wasn't authorized, but by those who were here. Our Heavenly Father is so pleased to answer our request. And then the last one about being poor in spirit. People who are poor in spirit boast in the cross. Or you could put in Jesus. I don't care what you put there. Galatians 6:14 says, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of Christ." I wrote down here, the more a man or woman sees in himself or herself, the less they will see in Christ. The more that you see in yourself pridefully, the less you will see in Christ. The more you see in Christ, the less you will see in yourself. To be poor in spirit is to recognize our utter helplessness in all things spiritual. That is to realize things mean nothing and that God means everything. I will not boast, the hymn writer said, in anything, no gifts or power or wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. The worship team leads us in this often. People, now listen to this. People who are far from God think much, speak much, and make much of themselves. People who are far from God speak much, think much, and make much of themselves. People who live near to God make much of Jesus, are always willing to share in church, at the job, wherever it may be, make much of Jesus. Now, to be poor in spirit, as I said earlier, is not just don't think of yourself in ugly terms. You are a new creation in Christ, and it's not pleasing to think of yourself in ugly, demeaning terms. That's not what it means to be poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit means to recognize that God is holy, and you and I have nothing to bring to Him except our need. And when we do, He says, "I can meet that need," just as that other individual and myself, Dory and I, were able to meet that man's need physically the other day. But could we have done anything for him spiritually? Nothing except to point him to Jesus, who meets the needs of every soul. So that's our little thought tonight. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.